You guys are so kind. You know what? Can you just stand one more moment? I promise I'll let you sit. I promise. But I need to release this because in the worship, I really sensed, and I don't just say this, you know, you just said my doctrine sounds, so I'm going to do my best. I do have a legitimate theological degree, so rest assured. But one of the things I sensed the Lord saying is that the angels of awakening in New Zealand are stirring. Whoa. Lift your hands. That's biblical because, you know, Tim Sheet says it this way. There's no angel graveyards. I just sensed, I don't have a full prophetic word, but I just want us to pray into this for a moment, that the sounds that are coming out of New Zealand right now, the sound of unity, the sound of hunger, there's something about that sound that stirs the angels. There's something about that sound that is connecting with angels that have been present in this land during times of revival and awakening. So, Father, right now, I thank you in Jesus' name. The sound of hunger is going forth. The sound of a church that is in unity is coming forth. And I thank you, Lord, that New Zealand is stepping into days of great glory. Great glory. Father, I do pray that, Lord, just thinking of the season of COVID and even the earthquakes, Lord, that revival would be a recompense for New Zealand. That's good. Lord, let it be that revival would be a recompense for anything that was lost and shaken, where even things were interrupted in that season, where there was an interruption, where there was supposed to be advancement, God, and then stuff happened that interrupted it. Father, we thank you for acceleration. That God, what may have been interrupted for years, Lord, with one touch of the Holy Spirit, acceleration can happen imminently. So I just thank you for that, Lord. And Father, right now we pray your word would go forth. I wouldn't give my opinion. I would speak forth the word of the Lord, and we would be receptive to what you have to say, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can be seated, promise. I do have a word tonight. Just to give you a little bit of context about me, how to receive from me, I am a prophetic teacher, but I like to go and move in sync with the direction of the Holy Spirit. So what may happen is I will preach, I will teach, and in the middle of the message, we might just have a time of ministry. Because I believe in doing everything in decently and in order. Sometimes decently and in order looks a little bit different to God. So I'm part of the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders under Cindy Jacobs. My dear friend Miriam, they're back at their hotel. Would you just join me for a moment in praying for her? There was something that she actually really released in the church in Australia, and I have no doubt the devil was really warring against her. I don't like to give the devil credit, but he was warring against her, but she released a word that I believe is going to shift the church in Australia. So I believe her mission was accomplished. But right now, Father, we pray for Miriam. God, touch her throat. Touch her body, raise her up right now in Jesus' name. We stand as the ecclesia, and that word goes forth right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And can I just encourage you, just as you were so kind to pray for my friend there, you know, as we just prayed that way, shikaramata. See, this is how I minister. I'm trying to give you an introduction, and the Holy Ghost is just interrupting the introduction. I actually feel the Lord saying, church, get ready to understand ecclesia prayer. Okay, ecclesia is the word for church. Ecclesia is not describing a synagogue or a church building. Ecclesia, in context, was a governing body of people. Can I propose to you, church, you have governance in the spirit realm. And I just think of times in the book of Acts where somebody was either in duress, somebody was sick, somebody was dead. The apostle Paul, remember the one time he got stoned and left for dead? And it says the ecclesia gathered around him and he recovered. I just believe the Lord is raising up, and I want to propose this to you as a prophetic word. I hear him say ecclesia prayer. I literally see some people who are particularly dealing with some sickness, and I'm just giving this to you for later. Sicknesses where it's almost like, well, we've prayed and we've done everything we know to do, and it still seems like a hopeless situation. I feel like the Lord is saying, I propose to you, try out ecclesia prayer, where I literally see a company of the church gathering around these people and saying, we are going to come into a place of agreement for you. We are going to stand in faith for you. And I don't know. I see like the book of Acts. We see people raised from the dead. We see the sick healed because the church had that level of unity. They moved in sync. They moved in step. So, Lord, would you release that to the Church of New Zealand? Could you, could you just even imagine that, where there are people dealing with a hopeless physical ailment, and then it's like the church shows up at their door and says, we will not tolerate this. We will interrupt the plans of the devil. Cancel this thing. So, Lord, raise that up. God, across the nations, ecclesia prayer, where the church gathers around those who are really going through it, and as a result, raises them up in Jesus' name. All right. So, the message I have tonight is simply, it's called this, the river is rising. The river is rising. I'm going to give you data and facts to support that. I'm a researcher. Like I said, I have a degree in church history and renewal. I'm not here to just give you hype and excitement. I want to give you surefire evidence that right now we are in the days of awakening. Surefire evidence. I could get up here and give you my revivalist shtick. I could get up here and say, hey, ho, we're in revival. And that's great. You know, I love doing some of that Pentecostal stuff. I wrote Pentecostal Fire. But I want you to get in your spirit. There is evidence after evidence right now, not 10 years ago, not 100 years ago, Azusa Street, right now in the earth, something seismic is happening. And you need to be aware of that, because if we are disconnected from what God is doing right now, we will not pray bold prayers. If you don't have a vision for what God is doing in the earth right now, you will live dissatisfied and disconnected from the activity of the Holy Spirit. And we don't want that. Ezekiel 47, starting with verse 1. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Next, he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate that faced east. There, the water was trickling from the south side. Would you say trickling with me? Trickling. That was one measure of this river. And I want to propose to you, in 2023, we began to witness a trickling of the mighty river of God flowing in the nations. Let me give you the evidence. Anybody familiar with what was going on at Asbury University? We had that going on. People were glued to watching the YouTube of what God was doing there. I'm going to give you 4 points tonight. Point number one is this, for my note takers, and I'm a note taker as well. Number one, we've got to discern what time it is. Discern what time it is. I actually believe right now what time it is, just based on Ezekiel 47, is we have moved from the trickle of God's river to the next level, which is ankle deep. And I'm going to give you the evidence. But 2023, we had this phenomenon with this Asbury outpouring. And I'll be totally honest. I was a bit skeptical. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm familiar with revivals like Brownsville and Toronto and that kind of more explosive Pentecostal signs and wonders phenomenon. So I said, well, God, I believe there's genuinely something going on here. Is it students who don't want to go to class? That's terrible. I lied to repent. Because what happens is sometimes when you have a certain idea of what revival should look like and it looks a bit different, you will persecute it for looking a bit differently. But do you know what will help override that persecution and skepticism? Go there. That's what I did. I went to Asbury. Lo and behold, the same presence of God that was at Toronto and Brownsville and Bethel and Smithton and Rodney Howard Brown, same presence of God was there. just manifesting, moving differently. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, this is beautiful, this is precious, this is your presence, but what is happening? And you got to love how God will answer you. He said, Larry, you should know what's happening. You have the degree in church history and renewal. You wrote the book on Pentecostal fire. God, he just talks to me like that way with a smile because he's trying to provoke me. And I'm like, okay, God, you got to give me some context. I should know what's going on because I went in with that skeptical heart. Now I'm like, okay, this is really God. I need some context. He said, what you're witnessing at Asbury and all these other Christian universities that were having these spontaneous extended prayer and worship meetings, he said, we are in an Acts 2 verse 1 moment. What's Acts 2 verse 1? And the people gathered together in one place and one accord. And we witnessed that in 2023. And I sensed the Holy Spirit say this, Larry, Acts 2 verse 1 will produce the inevitability of the Acts 2 verse 2 suddenly. Suddenly there was a mighty rushing wind. Suddenly the Spirit of God broke in. It wasn't entirely sovereign on the day of Pentecost. In the sense, you got to track with me for a minute, in the sense that remember, before Jesus went away, he gave them a promise. He said, tarry in the city. I love that word, tarry. Because that's old-time classical Pentecostal language. We're going to tarry in prayer. But you know what? A generation needs to learn what it means to tarry again. What does it mean? You pray until. I'm not going to go on that message. But what happened was Jesus gave them a promise to wait in the city until they received power from on high, which was the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what they did. They went to that upper room. And I have to believe those, and it says they gathered together in Acts chapter 1. What were they doing in the upper room? They were praying. I believe they were praying into the promise that Jesus gave them about being filled with and endued with power from on high. And as a result, they didn't perhaps know entirely what it all looked like, but they held that promise up to the Lord, I'm sure, in one way, shape, or form, and then he came. They did what they knew to do. They gathered together in one place in one accord, which is being a good steward of what God told them to do, what Jesus told them to do, and then suddenly, I want to propose to you, we need to keep doing the things God has instructed us to do and be faithful. We need to keep gathering together in prayer. We need to keep gathering together in our corporate settings like this. Because you just don't know. Like, I love to live with a sense of expectation. And I just want to release this over all of you guys. When you come to Living Waters, you come to your churches, would you just show up and have this sense in your spirit? Could this be the day? Now, it's going to be a day one way or the other. When you gather together in one place in one accord, he will come. He will come. Okay, I'm going to probably do this right now. I wrote this down. I want to pray right now for everybody in here who is a pastor or leader. I would like you to come up here because I believe there's something the Lord wants to release. I feel the fire of God on this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in New Zealand, God. I feel like the Lord wants to impart to you. Listen, I can only freely. Oh my goodness, you've got a lot of past. This is unusual. Shikura, would you, if you're sitting down, would you stretch your hands towards these precious ones? It's time for revival in New Zealand. It's time. It's time. I just sense that. It's not one day, someday. It's not coming. So I just want to release this. Father, I hear the Lord say, it's time. Show. It's time for revival. It's time. It's time. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, I was just talking about shakaramban, gathering in one place in one accord. The Lord says, get on top of the atmosphere. Get on top. This is for everybody. Get on top of the atmosphere. What does that mean? You do not tolerate. Pastors, leaders, you have no right to tolerate a dry or dead service. You have no right to tolerate dry or dead congregations. If you go into that meeting and things just feel off, the Lord would say to you, you have authority to get on top of it. You have authority to get on top of the atmosphere. I hear that so strongly. Listen, I'm a pastor and a leader. How many times have we tolerated dry and dead services? How many times have we said, oh, man, I didn't even want to go to church today? But I hear the Lord say, leader, you have the right to get on top of the atmosphere because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Whoa, fire. He's releasing that right now, that spirit of revival. Revival, fire. Revival, fire. Janet, take it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, even right now for these pastors and leaders who represent one voice and one accord, God. One voice for this nation. Holy Spirit, get on top. Get on top of the atmosphere. It's time. Shikaramasete. Yes, yes. Just keep receiving. Father, for everyone who's lined up, God, I just pray they would take a spirit of revival back to their congregation in the name of Jesus. I hear the Lord saying, I'm giving you eyes and ears to see and to sense. To see and to sense the activity and the stirrings of my spirit, even when they're subtle, even when they're subtle, even when there's just slight movement, I'm giving you the ability to discern moves of God, to discern moves of God. It might look like a trickle. It may not look like a torrent. It may not look like a torrent. It may not look like a mighty rushing river. But I hear the Lord saying, I'm giving you the ability to see and discern the trickle. Do you know what that means? It means when you're having a service or a gathering and there's just that slight indication that the river level is rising, that the Spirit of God is doing something unusual and out of the ordinary. And I hear the Lord say, pastor, leader, just go with it. 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 Break open the atmosphere. Break it open. Break it open. Break it. So I'm going to pray one more time the same thing over each of you. God, I pray right now that each one would be touched by Jesus the Breaker. Hey, he's coming in the room right now. Messiah the Breaker. What does that look like? It looks like you saying, Jesus, we will partner with you. Jesus, you come in and do what you want to do. Father, I pray right now that in each of these congregations, Jesus would be welcome in every manifestation. Whoa! What does that mean? It means you have discernment when he's showing up as Jesus the lover. You have discernment as when he's showing up as Jesus the Holy One. You have discernment when he's showing up as Jesus the Breaker, as Jesus the Deliverer, as Jesus the Liberator through the power of the Holy Spirit. I just see that so strongly. Just sensitivity. Sensitivity to the beautiful ways, the different ways that Jesus moves. Shoo. However you want to flow, God. But Lord, we ask, God, that in each of these churches, each of these ministries, I pray that that river level would rise. That there would be an increase. That there would be an increase of Holy Spirit activity. I pray it, God, over precious Gideon right now, God, and his, for the sake of the nation. I hear the Lord say, your churches need to be unapologetically Pentecostal for the sake of your nation. For the sake of your nation. Because you know what? Secularism, atheism, all of that's failed a generation. Failed a generation. Whoa. And right now they recognize that. But if they come into your gatherings and the Holy Spirit is moving in power like he is right now, something will come alive in them. So Lord, I thank you for what you're releasing. Send them forth. Commission them with power. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And Lord, last prayer for all of you. Would you refresh the leaders right now? Refresh them. You're the God of Acts 3:20. Times of refreshing. We're almost done, but I just want you to hold up your hands. Hold out your hands and receive it. I just want to honor you, sir and ma'am. I want to honor your integrity. Shoo, this is holy right now. This is holy, guys, because right now we see the church shaking. I live in Dallas, Texas. We have a lot of notable shakings taking place. But can I tell you, please don't be shaken. Don't be shaken when you see exposure. Don't be shaken because the leaders you're looking at right now, how many tens, Hundreds of leaders every day are faithful to their wives. How many leaders are faithful to their churches? How many of these leaders here, they do walk in integrity. They walk in the Word of God. They walk in the fruit of the Spirit. We honor you. We bless you. We love you. America blesses you. America blesses the Church of New Zealand right now. And I actually declare we need a strong church. We need a strong voice to come out of the island nations. We need an unlocked and unmuzzled voice. So, Father, I thank you. Whoa, I feel the Holy Spirit. Shoo. Lord, just refresh them. Refresh them in the name of Jesus. Times of refreshing. And Lord, this last bit of encouragement is this. Don't make regular time to drink from the river of God. In other words, to refresh yourself in the Spirit. Refresh, refresh, refresh. It's legal. It's legal to come and just receive. Yeah, whoa, man. God loves when we pray for his leaders and his pastors, but it's legal. It's legal to take a drink. For those of you who are sitting, whoa, I feel that. I feel that wonderful, refreshing presence of God. For those of you who are sitting down, it's legal for you to drink as well. We just drink from the river of God right now. You're here. You are here, God. You are here, Lord. Refresh. Refresh, God, those who pour out. All of you guys, it's legal. As you pour out in life, as you pour out your job, as you pour out in your family, you know what? He just wants to pour right back into you. He wants to pour right back into you. Some of you, I didn't know if I got to pray. Wow, just pour right back into them. Pour right back. A heavy pour. I pray right now you'd release that just heavy pour of the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful. It's holy what God's doing right now. If I didn't pray for you for this prayer, lift your hand. I want to make sure I prayed for all the leaders. I was going to say you have a very robust amount of catchers as well. I love it. It's like an army. Jesus, yeah, no. This is a priority. Refresh, refresh, refresh. God, times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Yeah, you're getting some refreshing right now, God. Shoo. Well, I feel it too. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you refresh the weary. Hey, you bring strength. He's bringing strength right now in the name of Jesus. Actually, I felt like as I was just praying for somebody with arthritis, somebody with debilitating arthritis is being healed right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those who are struggling with arthritis, God, that they test it out throughout this gathering, that there'd be total healing. Why? It's a confirmation. I believe he's bringing strength to weariness that has even induced pain in some people. Shorabase. Lord, release your refreshing presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You love your leaders. You love the hungry ones, God. I thank you that as I'm praying for you guys, you have clearly never graduated from being hungry for the Holy Spirit. You are leaders who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I feel like New England's in good hands when you have leaders like this who are so receptive to the Holy Spirit. The nation's in good hands. The nation is in hungry hands. Whoa, it's a good word there. The nation is in the hands of leaders that are hungry for God. Because you guys know that's the only solution for New Zealand. It's the only solution for America. I know we have our political preferences. I know we need to be engaged, but the only solution for nations is Jesus. The only solution for nations is a church baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, sending forth disciples to go baptize nations. I hear the Lord saying in this hour, I'm sending forth my disciples, my people, to literally go and baptize the nations. What does that mean? It means teaching and training nations, people, wherever your sphere of influence is, in the ways of the kingdom of God. So, Father, refresh, renew, restore in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Pastors and leaders, you guys may be seated. Yes. We always must make space, sacred space, When the Holy Spirit is moving, I'm just so encouraged. Janet and Wesley, for you to have that many leaders in a meeting like that is, I mean, that is special. That tells me that God is doing something significant in New Zealand. That's quite significant to see that. We talked about the trickle. I remember with Asbury and what was going on, talking to Cheon and Sid Roth about it. Now, you got to love Sid Roth because Sid's not, he told me one time, he's like, Larry, we're going after the greater glory. It's the glory that when Larry, when you go to a meeting and you get up there and read the Chinese takeout menu, the glory will fall. Listen, I'm waiting for that service. I'll tell you, I told Sid I'm practicing. I'm going to bring the Chinese takeout menu with me when I go places. But what he was observing about what happened in Asbury and such, he's like, that's, yes, that is God, but it's a dress rehearsal for what's coming. And I believe that's true. And then I was talking to Cheon, and Che, I think, very beautifully described it as, this is that trickle dimension in the river of God. Can I just give you just principles about revival very quickly? Two key principles we need to know if we're going to steward a move of God. Number one, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Because people were tempted to look at Asbury and say, that's not a move of God because it does not look like it's in full-blown maturity. Well, how would it sound if I looked at my daughter who was like 2 months old and say, you know what? She's not my daughter. She's not a child because she is not in full-blown maturity yet. It'd be like looking at an acorn and despising it because it's not yet fully a grown oak tree and being like, ah, I'm going to just throw that away. Well, if you don't steward it, if you don't steward the acorn and put it in the ground and actually treat it and prepare it like it's going to be a mighty oak tree one day, it'll never grow. So we must not despise the day of small beginnings. And I tell people, when you see a genuine move of God stirring and breaking out, wildly celebrate it. Wildly celebrate it. But number two is this, and it's equally important. When I looked at Asbury and when I looked at the campus stirrings that were happening at the Christian universities, at the same time, we can't look at a trickle and say, this is the great end time outpouring. This is the fullness of revival. No, it is revival in its infant form. It is revival in its acorn form. But likewise, I am not going to look at an acorn. Let me put it this way. I am not going to give my six-year-old the keys to the car. Because that would be a disaster. Why? Because yes, she is a person, but she is not at that level yet where she can drive a car. So the same thing is true, I think, when it comes to revival. It's like that is truly revival in seed form. We celebrate it wildly, but I'm not going to call it fully matured yet because there's some work that needs to be done. So those are just two principles I think that's very important. Why? Because New Zealand, you are going to be seeing stirrings of God. I feel that. I feel that. I'm not giving that to you as something to make you feel good. I sense strongly, leaders, please, I mean, I prophesied it, but I can't escape it. Have your eyes and ears open in your meetings, in your congregations for stirrings of God. The thing sometimes that prevents revival or a period of visitation where we go into extended meetings, the thing that sometimes restrains or restricts that is our unwillingness to recognize the subtle stirrings of the Holy Spirit. Or, and I'll blame myself for this as well because we all do it, or Holy Spirit is stirring and he is genuinely doing something and we have an agenda that we need to get to. And we've all done it. We've all done it. Listen, I know I'll be preaching, I'll be delivering a message, and the Holy Spirit in the middle of the message is saying, Larry, I want you to minister this way. And I'll tell him, no, that's terrible. Forgive me. I'll be like, no, Holy Spirit, I'll get to that later. And he impresses me, no, you need to do it now. No, I'll get to it later. And then what happens? You just have this like sinking feeling that, oh, this is just, and then the sermon becomes a rat sandwich. I mean, it really, That's a favorite phrase that I borrowed from Lance Wall now. So yeah, we have this trickle, but I want to give you this, you know, discern what time it is. I believe in 2024, we stepped from trickle to ankle deep. Because as we go on in Ezekiel 47, we see there are other measures, depths, and dimensions of the move of God. Verse 3, as the man went out east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the waters, and it came up to my ankles. Let me give you the evidence. Again, in America, but in also some other places. And just track with me, because I want you to be encouraged by the research, the data, the evidence. So 2024, the year began in the States with a big conference that they have in Georgia called Passion Conference. Louis Giglio. And I don't know if any of you followed kind of a worship video that went viral from that. It was like a 20-minute worship clip. And I thought to myself, oh, I'm charismatic Pentecostal. We are accustomed to 20-minute worship songs. So, but somebody was like, well, you got to watch it. I remember watching it, and I knew something had shifted in the earth, not just in that meeting, but in the earth, because you had 55,000 students, young adults, gathered together, 55,000, gathered together, and I was watching the video, and it started pretty normal, but then as a revivalist, there are sights and sounds that you come to recognize this is an unusual move of God, because at one point, the worship team gets on their knees and on their faces before the Lord, 55,000 person arena. And then you see throughout the arena, because sometimes we have this idea that in a big venue like that, well, we've got to be very orderly and we can't do this stuff. Don't tell those students that they did not care. They were coming out into the aisles. They were getting on their face before God. And then I knew this wasn't just we're singing our favorite worship song, and I have a tear trickling down my face, and I'm feeling all the feels. I knew it was more than that when it got to a point when I heard groanings, when I heard the cries. How many of you know we can come together, we can sing songs, have a light show, and have a good time. We can sing worship songs, and I'm not saying any of this is bad. We can remain in a realm called hype. And I'm not even saying hype is bad. Please don't misunderstand me. I'd rather have you have hype for Jesus than hype for the world. But there's also a shift that takes place when it goes from hype to hunger. That's what I saw in that passion video. I saw a shift from people who are just excited to the guttural cries, God, you must rend the heavens and come down. God, you must tear open the heavens over our generation. And I had a sense that that was one indicator light that we are shifting from trickle level to ankle deep. Because again, 55,000 gathered in one place like that, experiencing, I believe that was an outpouring of the Spirit. Fast forward. Then we started to see this unusual phenomenon in the States. And I believe, I'm just telling you what I've seen. This is available for every nation. And one of the unusual things we're seeing right up until just recently, we call them secular universities, universities that are not Christian. Thousands of students coming together and being organized Christian events at these wildly secular universities. And these students would give their lives to Jesus. They would get rededicated to the Lord, and then they would get water baptized. And it was like a Book of Acts phenomenon where they would be having gatherings with literally thousands of college students at, like, for example, number two party school in America, FSU, Florida State University. They had thousands come together, give their life to Jesus, and then they were looking for water to be baptized in. And they baptized them in the school fountain. Sounds like Book of Acts. Find me some water to be baptized in. And they're not doing it, by the way, just as a ritual. These students are wanting to get water baptized because it is a declaration. I am all in for Jesus. I am all in. They were getting baptized in lakes. And then, interestingly enough, I think it was University of Alabama, is same phenomenon. Thousands coming together. Hundreds rededicating their lives to Jesus, giving their lives to the Lord for the first time. And they would have trucks roll up with horse troughs in the back. The horses would drink the water out of, and the students would get baptized. Whoa, as I say it, I just prophesy that even over New Zealand, God, let it be that the Lord would raise up apostles. Now, this is an interesting word, but you know, all right, the Lord's saying you got to go with it, Larry. Even as I was speaking about universities, even as I was speaking about that, if your heart started to burn, if your heart started to say, God, I believe we need that in some way, shape, or form in New Zealand, I want you to stand up. If you're, again, it's not going to be everybody, but yeah, if you felt, lift your hands. Father, right now, I pray in Jesus' name. I hear the Lord saying, I'm first releasing intercessors. I'm releasing those who will pray for university students because so many don't even have anybody to pray for them. If they're in a secular university, their mom and dad ain't praying for them if they don't know Jesus. So God, he's raising up intercessors right now. Some of you are going to be marked with intercession. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Fiery intercession. Revival intercession. Leonard Ravenhill level intercession in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because, Lord, he's doing something right now. If God, if you can do that in America, why not New Zealand? Why not Australia? Why not? I hear the Lord saying right now, Larry, I had you share that so I could give vision to the church in New Zealand to actually cry out for an outpouring of the Spirit on the campuses. Yeah, that's what he's doing. New Zealand church, where can you start? Just pray. But some of you are going to receive apostolic blueprints because that's what's happening right now. These gatherings are being put together by these like everyday people. They don't have big important names. But the Lord has given strategy and blueprints to some people just to go in and partner with some of these universities and do these Christian events. So, Lord, I ask right now, if there are some here that are called to be the boots on the ground, if there are some here called to be strategists, Lord, would you do that, God? Even as they're praying, this is what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. Start with prayer. Just start, you know, that burning in your spirit was a call to prayer. Is it called a prayer for an outpouring of the Spirit on the students and the colleges and universities of New Zealand? But I hear the Lord saying, as you pray, some of you will get marked with strategies. Whoa, as you pray, the Lord might literally bring a name to mind. It'll be like the Lord flashing before your eyes a business card with a phone number and an email. Listen, I don't give words like this with this specificity, but I know it's the word of the Lord. Some of you are going to call to be strategists, to actually catalyze apostolic movements in universities in New Zealand. Would you just lift your voices right now? I hear the Lord saying, why not start now with a prayer? Why not, God? I'm going to just take another minute on this, but God, pour out your Spirit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't even need me to cheerlead you on this one. God, we ask for that Acts 2. Pour out your Spirit on the sons and daughters in the name of Jesus. God, the sons and daughters. Hey, if some of you have students in these universities, and they're far from the Lord right now, I encourage you to cry out. I believe we are in a window of time. We are going to see multitudes of those who have turned away from Jesus come home. How? I'm just agreeing right now. I'm agreeing with prophetic words from people like Dutch and Tim Sheets. I'm agreeing with those words right now, God. We will see them come home. Lord, use them. Lord, mark these ones. There's something also about it when you mark those who are of that generation. There's something about their voices, God, those Gen Z voices, Lord, that you're raising up right now. Lord, use them. Yeah, God's going to, I will prophesy this or announce it or whatever. God is going to do something in the universities in New Zealand. And even if just a handful of you partner with this, here's the deal. I do believe there are going to be apostolic strategists that come out of this. I believe the Lord is going to give you some strategies to navigate events, navigate, Yep, yep. Partnership with these universities to have Christian events. I believe the Lord's going to do that. But the one thing that you can all do is pray. You can all pray. And you know what? If you don't know what how to pray or what to pray concerning this, start with Acts 2. Start with Acts 2:17. God, you said in the last days you would pour out your Spirit on all flesh. And God, we recognize you have a special assignment for the sons and daughters, God. God, even that word right now, I know is resonating with those in this room who have sons and daughters who are far from God. Shikura mama. Just want a minute. Yeah, this is just holy what the Lord's doing right now. I don't want to go too quick, but I am going to shift in a minute. But if you have a son or daughter right now who is far from the Lord, I would say raise your, but I just want to pray in agreement with you. Would you just lift your hand if you have a, yeah, yeah, son or daughter far from the Lord. We just agree right now in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you a good word. I'm going to give you, number one, the Lord is refreshing so many of you parents who have prayed, and it's almost like you feel like I've exhausted all my tears. I've exhausted my tears. I've exhausted my strength. I hear the Lord saying, I'm refreshing your knees. I'm restoring your knees. I'm strengthening you to pray once again. But I hear him say, why not try prophesying? Ha! Why not try prophesying? Well, Larry, what can I say? You can just come before the Lord and say, God, my son, my daughter, Lord, let them be a fulfillment of your last day's plan, which is to pour out your Spirit on all, but somebody's getting it, on all flesh, and my son and my daughter will prophesy. God, pour out your Spirit even right now on them, Lord, wherever they are. In the dorm room, in the apartment, in the bar, with that relationship they should not be in. God, you're not intimidated by that place. Spirit of God, fall. Spirit of God, visit them, God, with dreams in the night. God, I dare say even some of their friends that have been bad influences, let those friendships be broken, or let that friend get radically touched by the Holy Ghost. Wow. Yes, God. Arabase. Yes, 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 yes. I feel that. God, for the one who's in a relationship that they should not be in, I pray that that person that they're in the relationship with is touched by the Holy Ghost. I don't know why. Sometimes it takes the peer. Sometimes it takes the friend. Sometimes it takes the boyfriend or the girlfriend. Why not pray some unusual, bizarre prayers and say, God, I'm going to pray for my kid, but I'm also going to pray for their friends that they're touched by the Holy Ghost. Hey, touched by the Holy Spirit and with fire. Touch them now, Holy Spirit. Yeah, 30 more seconds. Lift your voice, and I want you to pray in tongues. Sheke rebase. Lord, we call them home. Sheke rebase. God, let them be trophies of revival. Trophies of revival. God, let the son and daughters be notable miracles. Notable miracles. Hey, we say come alive. Come alive in Jesus' name. Lord, distress them over their sin, but overwhelm them with the love of God. Hey. Father, thank you. I find myself praying that prayer, and it's very balanced because it's kind of what happened in the Great Awakening. People would get distressed over their sin, which, by the way, we should be. Sin is no laughing matter. So we pray, God, distress them over their sin, but simultaneously overwhelm them with the love of the, oh, with the love of the Father. Distress them over their sin, but let them know there's room in the Father's house. Yes, God, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. I feel like the Lord did something there. Oh, thanks, thanks. Ankle deep. We've got universities experiencing outpourings of the Holy Spirit. I'll give you just one more example, because can I tell you, God's also moving in places he's not supposed to. What do I mean by that? He's moving in places that sadly religious spirits like to attach a narrative to. Now, for example, in the United States, we have a whole area called New England, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire. And every time I tell people I go to minister there, they look at me funny. They're like, there's churches there? There's does God even go there? Because they've become real bastions of secularism, humanism, atheism. I mean, you've got all the leading universities, the Ivy League schools in America there. But can I tell you, God is moving in those places. I got back from Maine earlier this year, and there's a church in Maine at the top of New England where nearly every week people are getting born again. They're getting healed. And we had a meeting where the Holy Spirit just came and he crashed in, again, in a territory he's not supposed to move in. He crashed in, and we had just a wonderful swirl of God. And there was a gal who came forward. And I'm giving you this testimony because I want you to have vision for this type of phenomena to take place. Because when God shows up, any of this can happen. While the Holy Spirit was just doing his thing, we were kind of ministering, just kind of like we were just doing. There's a girl who came forward, and the pastor got up and said, Larry, I got to let you know what's happening. And of course, you're the pastor. Tell me what's going on. The gal came up. In that atmosphere of Holy Spirit swirl, I did not give an altar call. We didn't do anything like that. She gave her life to Jesus for the first time in an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit was just moving and people were getting touched and unusual phenomena was happening. And then I come to hear her story. The night before, she had a lot of people who were praying for her. The night before, she was getting ready to go to bed, and she heard a knock on her headboard, and a voice told her, go to church tomorrow. I'll tell you, that ain't the devil. Devil's not going to tell you to go to church, particularly a kind of church that allows the Holy Ghost to just show up and do what he wants to do. She came to church and got born again in the glory. Whoa. That Sunday night, we just had a revival service, prayed for everyone. People just got blasted, touched, immersed in the Holy Spirit. A couple went back on Monday. This is what I burn for. I long for the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday impact of our revival gatherings. There's a couple who went back. They were doctors. They had a practice in Maine. They went back to their practice. The gal who is, I think, the receptionist there, she was deeply involved in the occults. They even called her a witch of some kind. They just kind of tolerated each other because the couple who had this practice were Christians. She was very into whatever, New Age occult stuff. Bottom line, they walked in that Monday morning after the Sunday night revival meeting. They just came into proximity to her. They just got near to her. She fell to the ground, foaming at the mouth, getting touched by the power of the Holy Ghost that was just on them, that was just saturating them. They didn't go and preach some hard word to her. They didn't tell her, hey, you got to clean this up. Now, obviously, there's a place for that kind of stuff. There's a place for us to be bold and to be truth tellers. But there's also a dimension coming to the church where you walk in such an overshadowing of the glory of God that you walk into atmospheres and environments and the darkness around you ends up bowing to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's, I believe, the next level. We're seeing ankle deep. We're seeing gatherings that I'd never thought we'd see. We're seeing horse trough baptisms. We're seeing 55,000 in one facility getting gloriously touched by the Holy Spirit. We're seeing things I never thought I'd see, but there's more. Because we know Ezekiel's river does not end with ankle deep. If you keep reading in Ezekiel 47, you read verse 4, then he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my knees. There's another level. He measured off another third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my waist. I love verse 5. Again, he measured off a third of a mile, and it was a river I could not cross on foot, for the water had risen. I prophesy now the river is rising, and it will continue to rise in the name of Jesus. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed on foot. You need New Zealand church to discern what time it is in the spirit. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask for rain in the time of rain. And I love how Dutch Sheets puts it. When you know what time it is, you know what to do. In other words, if we don't know that God's doing all this stuff, then we will either live just disconnected and stagnant, or even worse. And I don't want you to fall prey. I don't want you to fall prey to discouragement. The discouragement propagated by all of our news outlets. All of them. Every nation. If you have a feast on the news regularly, you will never come back from that feast encouraged. I'm not saying live in la-la land and live disconnected from what's happening. I want you to also, let me say it this way, be aware of what's going on, but feast on the testimony of Jesus. That's a good word right there. Be aware. I want us to be citizens who are aware so we know how to pray, so we know how to engage, but feast and feed yourself. Go actively looking for what God is doing in the nations. Because I just gave you a snapshot. I guess one last one I want to tell you, because again, another place God should not be moving, United Kingdom. We just got back from Maine. Where did we go? I went from May. We went to Maine, and then we went in May to Belfast, to Dublin, to Dudley in England. We had a meeting in Dublin. It's funny. Beautiful church, All Nations Church. Several hundred people met in a boxing ring. I never thought I'd live to preach in a boxing ring, but it felt very prophetic. And there we were, and it was just a wonderful meeting, but at the end, I was with my dear friend Tommy Evans. We had this sense that God wanted to bring up the Gen Z, the young people, on the stage just to pray for them. We brought them up, and the fire of God fell on, I'd say, 75, 80 students, 80 kids. They were apprehended by the Holy Spirit. Some fell slain under the power of God. Some fell on their face. There was weeping. There was travail. There was crying out. I said, God, this is happening in a land that often we believe a demonic narrative about it. That in the United Kingdom and Ireland, God's not doing that kind of stuff. I can assure you he is. No territory, no nation is off limits to the move of the Holy Spirit. Right now, Rebasa, he's moving in Europe. Denmark actually just had one of the biggest, largest Christian gatherings they've ever had. Saw that reported from Paul Manwaring. Follow somebody like Jean-Luc Trichel, who's seeing Europe shall be saved. Just Netherlands, Germany, all of these places, and these are mass gatherings. God is moving. God is moving. And Shikuraboso, and he will not pass the islands by. He's moving, and I sense even tonight there's a company of people in here, like the woman with the issue of blood, where he was moving, and she wasn't going to wait. She wasn't going to wait. Well, you know what? I'll wait for Jesus to come where I am. She went where he was, and she grabbed hold of his presence. I sense that. It's what the Lord's going to release tonight. A company of people in New Zealand who say, we're not going to wait. We recognize what you're doing, and we're going to grab hold of it. I believe that's a prophetic word. I believe the word of the Lord for New Zealand, grab hold of what he is doing in the nations right now, because you have a right to receive it, because he is no respecter of nations. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Discern what time it is. Number two, I'll go through these quick, and then we're going to pray. Number two is define the terms. Sometimes we call everything revival. And if we call everything revival, then nothing is revival. In other words, we need to clearly discern what God is doing. So I'm going to give you three terms. This is me putting, Larry Sparks academic hat on, but it'll be helpful for you. Number one, renewal. Renewal. What is renewal? That's when you are a spiritually on fire believer and you just get a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. You get a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. You're already on fire. You're already hungry, but you just get touched by the Lord again. And it's always unto a purpose. But number two, revival. You have renewal. And revival is a bit different. Revival takes place when that which is dead and dormant comes back to life. Revival takes place when you have a church that was just kind of going through the motions and everybody's just showing up. There's no life. There's no presence. And then all of a sudden, a mighty rushing wind of God blows in and resuscitates everything. Revival also takes place when we were praying into your sons and daughters. When one who knew the Lord at one point goes away from Jesus and they come home, that's revival. Revival can take place in an individual where, again, you felt stagnant, cold, dead, dry towards God, and you come alive. Happens in individuals, and it also happens in local churches. You have the Brownsville Revival, 1995. Why? The Smithton Revival that happened at Smithton Community Church. It's named after the church because the church got revived. It was nearly dead. God brought it back to life. Okay, I believe right here, this is a bunch of revived people in here. So what's next for you? What do you do next? If we're revived, listen, I want to say this carefully. And listen, I'm a revivalist. So I love impartation. I love fire tunnels. Listen, we just got back from a church. We didn't do a fire tunnel. We did a river tunnel. That just goes to tell you how charismatic Holy Ghost we like to do that. I believe in all of that. However, if all we do is that kind of phenomenon and it has no impact on the outside world, we've got to really seriously evaluate what we're doing and how we're discipling people in revival. Because the goal is for revived people like us to take it outside, because guess what? That shifts revival into awakening. Revival happens with an individual and a local church. Awakening is territorial. Awakening is geographical. I'll give you some examples. You have what took place in our nation. You had the Great Awakening. It didn't take place at one particular local church. An entire region or geography was actually spiritually shaken and awakened. We want that for New Zealand. You need a New Zealand awakening. We just got back from Australia where they are crying out and contending for awakening in Australia. That is valid. That is the right use of the language because, again, awakening has everything to do with a territory, with a nation, with a geography, with a region, whether it's Auckland or Christchurch. It's a company of people saying, God, we are going to take the spirit of revival into a territory and actually start to see the territory recognize the outpouring of the Spirit through the saints of God. Amen. Through the saints of God. Through you. So you know you've shifted into awakening when the region and the territory start to look different. When there's an awareness, let me just put it this way. When there's awareness in the geography that there is spiritual activity taking place. You read the reports of the great awakenings of old, and it would talk about how the whole region came alive, or there was an awareness of the presence of God. I pray that over Christchurch. I pray that over New Zealand. I pray, God, that such an outpouring of the Spirit would take place here that those who do not know Jesus outside of this tent would hear the rumble. Would hear the rumble. I get that phrase. Hear the rumble. Hear the sound. Hear the sound. Shikurabaka, that we would not compromise on our Pentecostal distinctive. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you this. Acts 2 verse 6 says that if you want to see entire territories come to the Lord, we must embrace the sound of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means we let him move. We say, Holy Spirit, come and do whatever you want to do. Because in Acts 2, say, oh, praise God, the scripture's right here. I'm just doing my best to pull it out of my brain. That's a very wonderful and accurate translation. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together. What was the sound? It's the mighty rushing wind. is the tongues of fire. It was the unusual phenomenon of the upper room. Wes, Janet, and just all the leaders, I just want to encourage you. And I say this with love, but I say it with kindness, and I think you'd all say amen. We can never water down the Holy Spirit. We can never, because can I tell you this? The devil is not watering down his tactics. The world is not watering down their messaging. Culture is not watering down their attempts to literally bewitch and deceive our children. They're not watering it down. So I want to propose to you, prophesy over you, let us be extreme and radical. Whoa. And I pray even now that your churches would be known, yes, for sound doctrine, but also for the wildness of the Holy Spirit. The wildness of the Holy Spirit. God, you are not meant to be tamed. No, we're not talking about nonsense. We're talking about the holy, the holy wildness. I hear that phrase, holy wildness of Holy Spirit, where he just comes in like a mighty rushing wind. Can I tell you why that's so necessary? That's the sound. That's the sound. Well, brother, we want to make sure that when people come to our church, we don't scare them away. Can I propose to you that if people are coming to the church who don't know Jesus, they are coming to the church because they are crossing the threshold into this church in hope that they will taste something of another world. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to get to preaching. They come to a church. They'll come to a tent. Listen, if somebody's coming to your church and they don't know Jesus and they're crossing the threshold, they're looking, they're investigating, they are wanting to taste something of another world. Don't we cannot dare to give them the world repackaged. We don't dare give them gimmicks and entertainment. That model is crumbling. That model, at least in our nation, has been exposed as a travesty. Oh, God, for the sake of a generation being wildly, radically discipled by culture, we must give them the wildness of the Holy Spirit. The sound of Pentecost. Whoa. Show Rabase. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're shifting things into awakening. Number three, and I'm almost done, but man, I'm getting a sense of exactly who God wants to minister to. Number three is this. We got to determine to get a bigger vision. What does that mean? I'm going to show you right here. The book of Acts. Let this provoke you as it provoked me. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Determine to get a bigger vision. As Peter was traveling from place to place, he also came down to the saints who lived in Lydda. There he found a man, named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. I love how Peter prays for him, too. This is a little side note. Peter doesn't pray this nice religious, well, Lord, if it be your will, heal him. This is literally what Paul says of Peter. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. I feel like that's what I say to my daughter sometimes. Get up and make your bed. But I love the authority because can I tell you this, just a side note. There is a time to petition the Lord and to ask if it be your will, and there is a time to make a decree. I got to say that again because not all prayer is created equal. There is a time where we do not have clarity on what God wants, and it is right and proper to say, Lord, if it be your will, show me, direct me, lead me, and guide me. But I do believe when it comes to things like healing, I believe when it comes to things like deliverance and torment and anxiety and people in bondage, I believe you have the right and the biblical authority to look at those things and make a decree, just like Peter did. Peter didn't pray some wimpy prayer. He didn't even pray, Lord, I ask you to heal him. Peter made a decree, Jesus Christ heals you. Just as an encouragement, have discernment, God. Show me when to petition and show me when to decree. It's very important. I just love the story. But that's not the point that I was trying to communicate. get up, make your bed. And immediately he got up. Now, before I make my point in verse 35, that's an amazing story. I love the miracle. Typically when I'm reading through my Bible reading plan, I'll get to that and woo, yeah, that's a great miracle. And I will get the kind of revelation that I just shared with you. Okay, we need to make a healing decree. And it says he immediately got up, which means, by the way, we should be praying and crying out, God, could we see some more immediately miracles? I don't think that's wrong to ask for. I'm not demanding God, but Lord, I see time after time in the scripture where it says, and suddenly and immediately, God, that we cry out for some immediately miracles. So those are the kinds of revelations I typically get when I read through this. But the Lord highlighted the next verse, and that is where he said, Larry, you need to get a bigger vision, because it says in verse 35 of Acts 9, so all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Can I propose to you that there is a reality? There is a possibility. I know it's going to blow your mind, but let it. Where, because of the activity of the Holy Spirit, because of a notable miracle, that all of Christ's church. Listen. A restrained mentality will not like this. Whoa, because the Lord had to confront me. The Lord said, Larry, you preach about revival. You write books about revival. You spend a lot of money getting a degree in revival. Do you ever pray for revival? Because I do my little prayer time each day. I felt spiritual about it. We had a good time with God. But he's like, Larry, are you crying out for revival? Do you know why I really wasn't? Because I didn't have vision for it. I live in Dallas. I live in a little area in Dallas. And I'm thinking, well, I have vision for revival in other places, and I see God moving in other places. But I wasn't even really praying or taking spiritual ownership in my own territory, because I didn't have a vision for the possibility of all of Dallas turning to the Lord. If you have a bigger vision, and I pray that only God can impart that. But I pray even now, he'd give you a vision for all of Christ's church, all of New Zealand. And of course, the initial thought is, oh, but I know Brother Larry, but that's not going to happen. I'm going to leave the details to God. I'm going to leave the specifics to him in terms of who comes to the Lord and who doesn't. But we're going to go after everyone in this territory turning to the Lord. So I pray right now, God, you'd give all of us that vision, Lord. And we'd pray from that place. If you don't have a vision for all in a territory, city, or nation turning to the Lord, you will never pray for it. So God, I pray that you'd give us that bigger vision in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask for the notable miracles. God, we don't look to miracles for Christian entertainment. Miracles break open territories. Miracles challenge principalities and powers. Miracles, when a notable miracle takes place, it is undeniable. Will there be those who criticize it, mock it, and of course don't turn to the Lord? Yeah. But will there be many who see what God does and turn to Jesus? Yes. That is what we're going after. All the time, what our gimmicks and strategies cannot do. We'll go into a place and we are trying and we are working, we're plowing, and we've been in a city for 20 years and we see no fruit. But did we seek the Lord for a different strategy? Did we say, God, would you pour out your spirit with notable signs, wonders, and miracles, that you would break open our territory that way, as opposed to me just building something based on the latest, greatest church growth handbook strategy? And listen, there's a lot of those strategies that are good, but I always want to go back to the book of Acts for how we actually build the church. Thank you, Lord. So that's number three, determined to get a bigger vision. Number four is simple, and that's where we're going to end, is we have to decide to cry out. Because you know what? Once you have a vision for that kind of revival, for that kind of move of God, for Holy Spirit to just crash in, New Zealand, we've got to cry out for it. And what I want to pray into this. I had a bit of a prophetic gift given to me on Father's Day just recently. I was driving around, and the Lord reminded me of a prophetic word he gave me, oh goodness, years ago, back in 2010. And there's this wonderful pastoral couple. They did not know my wife or I at all, but they prophesied over me. And they said, Larry, I see a day coming where you go to nations and you'll see entire groups of people baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I believe that's what the Lord, whoa, I feel it now. He wants to do that tonight. Why? He wants to change your nation. He wants to shift the nation, and in order for him to shift this nation, he needs a company of people who are freshly baptized and immersed in the Holy Spirit and with fire. The only commitment you need to make is to carry the fire outside of the tent. I want you to stand right now. I feel like the Lord's doing something. Wes and Janet, I don't know if I can have the worship team or anybody even up here to help. No pressure at all. Listen, we don't need music for God to move. Oh, that's all right. No, we're fine. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Rabase, thank you, Lord. I do know the first thing he said to me, and listen, everybody's going to get prayed for, but I could not shake this. Those who are part of Gen Z, I believe for the sons and daughters, the Lord is going to mark you tonight. He's going to touch you. I believe you're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. I was just going to look on my phone and see what the age range. Does anybody know the age range of Gen Z? I heard the Lord just say, Gen Z, we're going to pray for them to get baptized in the Spirit and fire. Let's see. This is so funny, but you know what? This just goes to show that we're, I was going to say, Siri, what makes up Gen Z? See what she says. Those born between 1995 and 2011. Okay. Siri, help tonight with the altar call. I'm going to say this. All right. This is the church. We can have a good time. I'm going to say this. If you're 15 to 30, I would like you to come up here, and we want to pray for you. I feel the fire of God is going to fall on you in Jesus' name. Just pray. Just pray for them. I believe God is doing something significant in this generation. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to raise them up in this nation. Firebrands, firebrands, God, firebrands. I hear the word of the Lord saying firebrands in Jesus' name. God, release a baptism of fire. Yep, if I can have some catchers. Fire. God, release your fire. Immerse them afresh in Jesus' name. God, I ask right now you fill them. They might have been filled with the Holy Spirit before, but I ask you to fill them afresh in the name of Jesus. God, for the days ahead, God, for the days ahead, Lord, for the deception that comes against them, Lord, fill them afresh with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I pray new tongues, God, new tongues. For those of you, yes, God, who have been filled with the Spirit and have spoken in tongues, listen, sons and daughters, that's your weapon. That's your weapon. That's your weapon. That's not old school. That's not for old folk. God, release it in Jesus' name. God, release the groans. Release the travail. Father, release it in Jesus' name. God, I see the Lord saying, you will cry out for your generation. You will cry out for the youth and the young adults of Gen Z. You will be a womb that gives birth to a move of the Spirit among your peers. Parents, cry out for them right now. Yes, God, he's doing something. Holy Spirit, release your fire. Release your fire. Baptize them with the Holy. Yeah, yeah. He's moving in this tent right now. I hear the Lord say, pray for them to be filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And with fire. Hey, God, we're thankful for tongues. We're thankful for gifts. Fire, but we ask for fire. I ask for holy fire from your holy altar, God. Oh, God, rend the heavens. Fire, fire, Pentecost fire, God, as it was in the upper room, Lord. You're qualified. You are qualified to carry this fire. I hear the Lord say, you're qualified. Mistakes you've made in the past, hang-ups you've had, you're qualified. You're qualified. The Lord says, I'm doing a great work. I'm doing a quick work. I'm doing a sanctifying work, says the Lord. Oh, I prophesy you're a generation that loves holiness. What a word. You're a generation that loves holiness, because it's not about externals. It's about the posture of your hearts. You're a generation that loves holiness, where it's not a bunch of rules. It's you asking the question, Holy Spirit, how can I host you in my life? I don't want to do anything that would grieve you. I don't want to do anything that would quench you, Holy Spirit. He's doing something precious. Father, mark the young, the youth, the young adults. Mark this Gen Z generation, God, in New Zealand. Sayanamasi. Yeah, yeah. Would you just cry out for them right now? Yeah, for those who are here, but God, for that generation, we cry out, Lord, that there'd be a move of the Spirit. There'd be a move, God. Yeah, that's it. Hey. Ministry team, would you just come up and help me? We're just going to keep praying. Yeah, guys, keep doing. Yes, Lord. Now I just want to pray for everybody here. You guys just stay where you are. I don't even know how we're going to do this, but I pray right now, God, as you gave me a vision of entire gatherings being filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Would you do that right now, God? Would you just lift your hands right now to the Lord? I'm not here to hype you. I'm not here to manufacture a moment. I'm not here to shout you into an encounter with God. Shoo. But he is moving right now in Jesus' name. I feel like right now there's no place that's safe. There's no place that's off limits to the Holy Spirit. Just lift your hand. He's moving. There's that river of God. Father, release your fire. Release your river. Just say, God, listen, I'm not here to give you personal prophetic words. I'm here to just say, God, fill them afresh with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And with fire. I hear the Lord keep saying that phrase, and with fire. You might say, Brother Larry, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, back in camp 30 years ago. Yes, but God, I asked for some fresh fire. I ask for fresh fire, Pentecost fire. Yes. You don't need me to laugh. I'm happy to pray. I'm going to keep doing this, but just receive. He's baptizing the church of New Zealand afresh. This is the ecclesia of New Zealand. God, baptize them so they can baptize this nation. Holy Spirit, fire of God. God, release it. Oh, God, don't go easy on us, Lord. God, come. Spirit of God, just come however you want. Come however you want. Some of you are going to get joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it's legal. It's legal to take the joy. Whoa, whoa. You know what? It's nice when you have a chair that's a built-in catcher. Whoa. He's just increasing his presence right now. Fire. Just release your Holy Spirit fire across this room. You have permission. If you just need to sit down, lay down, kneel down. Hey, there's just an increase of the glory in this room. I feel it back here by the sound booth. Oh, Jesus, let it rain. Let it rain, God. Open the heavens. Open the heavens over New Zealand, God. Hey. Fire, fire, baptized with the Holy Ghost. God, we ask for a heavy pour of the Holy Ghost. Heavy, Lord. God, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yes, God, oil, oil, oil of joy for mourning. Oh, he's just ministering right now. Refresh, shoo, whoa, refresher, Lord, touched. God, We need you, Lord. Just say that, God, fill me afresh. Baptize me afresh, Holy Spirit. Paul made it very clear. It's legal to be filled with the Holy Spirit multiple times. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Would you release that rain of the Holy Spirit right now? In Jesus' name, just baptize your beautiful church in New Zealand so that they could baptize the nation. Yeah. Come on, worship team. You're releasing something right now. There's sounds you're releasing. Let it out. Let it out. You're helping me. Let it out. Show. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and fire. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. You're so kind. Oh, Father, pour out your Spirit. You said in the last days, God, we could expect outpourings of the Holy Spirit. You said we could expect it, Lord, so we do. That's what we're looking for right now. Shoo! Outpourings. We're waiting on an outpouring of the Spirit, Lord. And he's coming. That river is rising even in this room. It's even rising in this room. Oh, let it rain. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful Jesus. We just love you, Holy Spirit. We just love you, Holy Spirit. Refresh your people. Restore. I just pray right now, God, you'd restore years that the enemy has stolen. You'd restore. If anybody needs that, claim it. God, you'd restore years that the enemy has stolen. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that Jesus, you're the breaker. That Jesus, the stuff that we just can't break through, that you are Lord of the breakthrough. We invite you in right now, Jesus the breaker. The lion, all you need to do is roar and things shift. Things shift when he roars. Things shift when he moves. Shura mamas. We love you, Spirit of God. We only want the real. And listen, God's doing stuff all over this room. Just stay where you are. Keep receiving. We love you, Holy Spirit. Whoa, yeah. I thank you, Lord, that you come with rains of refreshing. Rains of refreshing, Holy Spirit. Those who are weary in this room, I thank you even right now. You're refreshing them in a supernatural way. The oil of joy, God. Shikura mama se ananama se. Shukura mama se. I was just going to ask, do you need me to like turn it on over to you? I just want to be sensitive of time. You can.
Is there anything more you'd like to do?
I think that's it. Just let the Holy Spirit minister. Yep.
Just lift your hands to the Lord if you would. Thank you so much, Larry. Thank you. Just lift your hands to the Lord. You can keep that. Just keep that music going a little bit longer. Thank you, Father, right now. Receive the Holy Spirit right now. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. Receive a fresh baptism. Receive fresh fire. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for all the prophetic word that's been released tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the prophetic decrees that have been released, tonight. We thank you for the stirrings. We thank you for the encouragement. We thank you for the provocation. We thank you for the witness. We thank you for the agreement in the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for Larry. We thank you for his family. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we just pray an agreement with him as well, that we will all see the more. We will all see greater glory. We will all see greater depths of the river of God. We would see greater dimensions of your Spirit flowing out of our innermost being. Lord, you said if we drink of you, drink of the Holy Ghost, then out of our innermost being, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. So, Father, we thank you for the river rising, for the river rising, for the river rising, for young and old, for people who have been in you for a long time and those who are freshly coming to you. Thank you for the river rising. Thank you for that every church, every assembly, every church represented here, every city represented here. We thank you for the river rising. In Jesus' name, amen. If you say amen to that, just give the Lord a clap offering tonight as we close. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you above every name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. We do have a 9 o'clock amplified music curfew, so that's why we have to be a bit sensitive with drums and that sort of thing. But God bless you. Thank you for coming. In some ways, I just don't want to break anything up. But at the end of the day, you probably need to get home and go to sleep. But thank you so much for coming. We know it was just a one-night situation, one-night time that Larry was with us. Thank you so much for bringing your faith and your hunger and your attitude. I pray that you've been stirred and something's been imparted into your spirit. God bless you. Have an awesome life in Jesus' name. Amen.